it.
You know what? Let's give the people what they want.
Let's do it.
For once. Which is a mostly subdued, slight, interesting remote conversation.
Podcast. Occasional pops of inspired insight and humor.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
By the occasional silence of what do we talk about next?
Yep. Don't feel like watching movies, so I'll watch people guess them instead. I don't know how it goes. I think it starts with your
Well, let's just say, like, let's explore this a little bit, because, like, you know, we've been talking to each other and shooting the shit with each other for like how many years now?
Are you talking about just podcast in general?
No, just like having to be like entertaining and like make up things on the fly and talk about things on the fly.
Well, like, together-ish since 2012, so like, almost 12 right? years.
Like commentary had like a structure, but it was still us just kind of shooting the shit with each other and making it like fun in between. I mean, we had something to lean on with the comments, but it was hard to like keep the conversation going sometimes. Maybe more like table talk is when we started to be like, okay, we have literally nothing to talk about. No, because we also relied on the comment bowl. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't have anything to rely on. This is just us out in the open, naked, essentially.
It's raw, dude. It's so super raw.
It's raw.
You're giving us just skin and bones, you know?
It kind of just proves that without some type of structure, we struggle. struggle a little bit.
I would say struggle in the moment sometimes. However, there, like I said, moments
it's
of
not
inspiration
a constant
and,
struggle. Yeah.
and pop. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've honestly, been watching. For, well, I was going to say for me, I'm not done exploring this.
Please.
I feel like maybe it's hard to be like, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to say? What are we going to say next or whatever? But I feel like it's easier for me to be like, fuck it. I'll just pull some fucking thing out of my ass. And maybe it's a skill I learned because of Table Talk or because of the shows where we didn't have structure.
Well, I did like the show that we did do called Steve Pulls Something Out of His Ass.
But that didn't last very long.
Yeah, it was a good couple, like, well, I don't know, what was it, 10 episodes, I think? It was a limited run. We didn't get the sponsor back, but the things you pull
out of
your
stuff.
Ass. Yeah, yeah. It's not so much the taking out, it's the getting in. It was a process. And we lost so many interns. So many interns that didn't want
up his ass.
Oh, well, my suggestion was is that we film the me putting them in my ass part, but James wasn't into it.
The internet wasn't ready yet. It just wasn't ready. I think we missed our window.
Yeah.
We needed poopery. We needed dude wipes. We needed some bidet company, and you know, it was ahead of its time. I think if we had those, we could have.
None of them existed yet. It's too bad.
Nope. No, it didn't. But yeah, I mean, whatever. It's just one of those things. That's what a podcast is, isn't it? Like, unless there's some kind of really hard structure, it's kind of just for us at this point. It's like I like catching up with my friends, and I like reaching out to you guys and telling you what I've been up to. And then getting your guys' opinion on the weird things that happen to us on the daily. And because of that, I don't think it's ever going to get – I'll never get tired of just sitting here with you guys and shooting the shit with something recording.
Dangerously recording.
Yeah, exactly. Something dangerously recording.
I went into my office this morning, and as I walked out, you know how sometimes if you're in a public bathroom – you walk out of the stall the same time as someone, and it's kind of like it feels synchronized, but it's not, and it's awkward for a moment. As I was exiting this door here, I looked to my left, and a creature was also walking the exact direction and exact pace of me, and it was on the other side of this wall here, and I said, "Hey," and what was staring at me, it took a second for my brain to compute it, was a new animal, new friend, opossum.
Hey!
Whoa!
And it got out of Dodge. It looked at me. I looked at it, and we were both like, "Hey!" And then it scurried off. And then I was like trying to get a video of it, and I got a little bit of its little cute butt, his little nasty ass tail.
Yeah.
And then later, Goose was like, and I look out and it had returned and it was still, it's like around here right now. And so I'm trying to befriend it, basically, because I don't know if you guys know this, possums are really great creatures.
Well, do you know you have to befriend it really fast and also be prepared for that friendship to be over almost immediately, and you will be crushed and your heart and soul will go through a very, very dark
period. I know what Joe's about to say, and I won't spoil it, but I learned this very recently and I could not believe it. I didn't know
it's,
this.
It's like fascinatingly tragic.
Fascinatingly tragic.
Their average lifespan is 1 to 2 years. 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
That's 3 to 4 in captivity if you're lucky.
So we talk about how flies, like, they say house flies live for like a day, right? It's like 24 hours or something.
Oh, God, I don't know. I'll find out. Let me go.
That'd be a fun one to look up. Let's find out all the lifespan, right? Like the from shortest to longest.
Yeah.
I bet turtles is up. Like, we should vote on what we think is the shortest lifespan. And then what is the longest lifespan? That's a fun thing.
Insects are pretty typically a house fly. Should be a different category. I want to know what the
there's been some fake news about houseflies.
Oh, shit.
It's because we listen to the media too much and we read everything on the internet and we think it's true. And I'm reading something else on the internet and I'm saying it's true.
Yeah.
15 to 30 days, depending on temperature and living conditions.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think, what does that feel like to that being? Like, does it, because our lives, we're like, you know, in our late 20s or mid late 30s. What are you, Elliot? Mid 30s?
Thank you. Yes. We'll go with that.
We're doing mid to late 30s, early 40s. And that feels, it feels like a lifetime already, because it kind of is for Joe and I at this point. But what does that feel? Does like day two feel like 6 months later for something that lives for like a year?
I did a play, a little short play in college, and it was about the love life of two flies or mayflies or something like that. And exactly what you're talking about. It was like the whole play, the whole one act was we met, we went through our courtship in like 2 seconds. We were married in like 5 minutes. We had our ups and downs. We had our fights. Yeah. We had our children. And then I think we died.
Like, it was a good bit.
It was very fast. It was pretty fun.
That's great.
Was it serious or was it cheeky?
Cheeky. Definitely cheeky.
I love cheeky. I like that concept as cheeky, because you could have, I could see this as an SNL sketch. Like, they've got big fly costumes on and they're like, you know, they're doing the whole courtship and stuff.
I have three guesses for this longest living animals.
Okay.
Tortoise, right? Giant tortoise or tortoise. In general, because they get up to like 150 sometimes.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Something like that.
Parrots. Certain parrots live for freaking ever. They'll outlive their owners. Yeah.
Parrots are really
longer than humans?
They'll have a very long, some of them have a very long lifespan. But is number one the tardigrade?
Oh, the tardigrade, those little guys that live in our eyelashes.
Those little space bears.
Yeah. Those guys live in our eyelashes and eyebrows and stuff, or that's something different?
I'm not sure. But I know that like they are so impervious to death, like they can go to space
and come
back and be alive.
And wait, really? So cute. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to wear a spacesuit to collect their pee-pee?
I mean, they
got
little cute spacesuits. Come on, man.
You gotta give them a little tardigrade. A spacesuit.
Do you think the first person who figured out like the electron imaging, when the first person who discovered the shape of the tardigrade, do you think they were like, you are not going to believe what I found?
It's like a swimming.
You need to get in here.
Like a... yeah. Was this before they discovered hippopotamuses?
Couldn't be.
Because we didn't have the ability to see the tardigrade until way later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know, when was the I'm going to look up when the tardigrade was discovered.
He's just sitting there at his microscope, and all of a sudden you just hear a, oh my God.
Yeah. It's like a little water bear. Hey, wait a minute. They're like, I'm going to call it a water bear. They are called water bears. And guess what, motherfucker? They were discovered in 1773.
Okay.
Impossible. Impossible.
We didn't have science then.
Science was called black magic then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, when were hippos discovered?
When were hippos discovered?
Yeah, fuck you. You don't think hippos were discovered? You don't think hippos? Weren't just there. They were discovered.
I don't think hippos. If that fact is around, well, I'll eat my face.
I mean, listen. There's
similar reaction,
be,
though. There's I bet it was a similar.
Well, yeah. Look at that. Yeah, look at that fucking thing. Then that they thing died. Was crazy. You guys never think about that when you see like moose. Like, we've talked about how frightening moose are. Like, think about the first people that saw a moose or saw a hippo or a crocodile or whatever. These statistics exist.
Well, I think you probably just have to go back to the people that discovered them. Like, obviously, Christopher Moose discovered the moose, and Jonathan Hippo discovered the hippo. We just gotta find their time.
Okay,
frames,
well, guess what? I've got a piece of information here that says the oldest records of the genus Hippopotamus date
1973
to the Pliocene. Huh. The Pliocene. Which is 5.3 to 2.6 million years ago.
Okay, I feel like the range of maybe is too big for us to really count this.
Yeah, maybe, huh?
Because
what even evolution of the hippo was that? Like, that's not the hippo we know today.
That was the big dog beta. Hippo.
Yeah. This had to be like a big giant. Yeah, exactly. This wasn't hippo. This wasn't the full release, the finished. What do they call that? When something was in alpha and then beta, or I guess it's alpha, because you said beta. It made me think of video game releases for some reason.
You guys have seen that meme that's like the first guy who heard a parrot talk was probably like, "Well, this isn't good."
That must have ravaged society as like as much as AI ravages us right now.
Well, it's like the people
so many
that are,
jobs were lost to the parents.
Yes, they were like, what this guy, the town crier, is going to be replaced by a fucking parrot. The guy that says the morning announcements through that bullhorn thing.
They tried to give the parrot every job, and they swiftly found out it wasn't okay.
I think he's getting it.
Yeah. Oh, the blacksmith parrot. Yeah, no, go see the blacksmith parrot. You'll get your job done.
Okay, so here's what... Okay, so I was mistaking tardigrades for, like...
Lice.
They get that a lot.
I thought they were lice. No, but the tardigrade, but they call them water bears. They really do. Mm-hmm. They can be found all over Earth. And from the deepest oceans to the tallest mountaintops. Mm-hmm. So what are these motherfuckers? They've been around here for a long time, huh? And what do they think they do? Who are they not paying taxes?
I think they're just kicking it. They just kick it. They're cute. They're cute and kicking it.
What are they? How do they help us? Do they help us?
I don't know. Do all those tiny things help us?
I like that God, when he like God was like, let's throw in like some cute, really small ones that they'll find. What else, you know, what if God's hidden even cuter,
I know,
tinier things that we haven't even mm-hmm. don't have the capabilities yet? Are there cute mm-hmm. atom, like things on an atomic level, or
like your penis.
Thank you guys for listening. This has been a great episode. Goodbye.
Guess very what? Nice.
Also, the tardigrade. Hell, he pulls out a gun.
That hurts my feelings so much.
Also, guys,
you were like 12 or 12 to 18, yes. And if somebody did make that joke, you would be upset.
Yes, yeah, it's like the end of the world. He'd come home and it'd be bothering you the whole rest of the day.
God, they think my penis is small.
Mom, mijo, what's wrong? You seem so sad today. You don't want any of this. You don't want this. My mom. Did I tell you guys this? My mom used to make me Pac-Man muffins. And she would take English muffins and put ham and cheese in it, And then she would cut off the little triangle to make it look like a Pac-Man. And then she'd put a little ketchup eyeball on it.
This sounds like shrinkflation, and it sounds like you got robbed of at least 2 bites of your Pac-Man muffin.
I know. Where's the yeah. slice? I want the slice. Yeah. And who ate it? Did you eat it, Mom? Well, I yes, want it.
Where's my missing piece, Shel Silverstein?
I want Pac-Man's mouth. But my mom would come in the room and she'd be like, Mijo, you haven't touched your Pac-Man muffin. Are you okay, Mijo? And I'd be like, Joey called me a turkey.
Yeah. I got so upset about stupid stuff.
I cried and had to be consoled in third grade because two girls called me Joe the Potato.
That's pretty good.
Joe the Potato.
I can see how that would sting, actually. Yeah.
That's really so hurt.
That's right on the that's like so simple. It's actually really elegant.
It was a nice little rhyme, and they got in legitimate trouble because I cried like a baby.
Nice. You got him back.
You're a pussy. Guys, guess what? Tardigrades as well as water bears are also called moss piglets.
I mean, you can't be everything.
Why are they gonna be all the cute things? And the Italian biologist Lazzaro Spallanzani named them tardigrada, which means slow steppers.
Mm. The I was thinking the other day about how the amount of times in high school I would be embarrassed about inconvenient or tone deaf erections that I would get a lot. And I remember being like, because I had lived far away from my high school, I took multiple buses, and I was thinking about how like I would wait till the last bus on the route before I fell asleep. And then when every morning when we arrived at school, I would wake up with a boner.
Yeah. That,
and everyone was getting off the bus and it would like freak me out. It was so stressful. Yeah. And then I specifically remember being like all the tricks I would try to do to like get my boner to go away. Yeah. And like, I would like hurt myself a little bit. I would punch it. And then I would try to decide between either thinking of like my grandmother or trying to do math. And then that sometimes I'd end up thinking about my grandmother doing math, and then that wouldn't work. And then eventually I would get so hard thinking about my grandmother doing math.
You didn't think to bust through the emergency exit?
Yeah, I should have.
Just smash through it.
Wait, what made you cry more? Was it the nickname Old Boner Morgan, or was it Three Bus Elliot?
Yeah, Three Bus
Bricked Up Elliot. You guys didn't learn that trick. Oh man, I'm so bad with human biology, and it's so stupid.
These are hands.
Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm.
Where do we begin?
It's not the hamstring, but what's this big ass muscle that's like on your, like under your. It's so hard to describe this for some reason. That muscle that you, the calf. The calf.
Okay. That was okay. The tough one.
Whew, we got there. The calf. That's that big old muscle behind your knee, right? Down there on your leg. That's the calf.
Yeah. Your lower leg.
You know how you can flex that calf like real hard, and you can like almost give yourself a blast of calves every day. You can give yourself a little Charlie horse if you
get a little crampy poo.
Yeah, you can get a little cramp going there. So okay, so that move will eliminate a boner.
Excuse me, what?
If you ever have a boner and you don't want it, you can
boners.
You can flex your calves.
Babe,
get the kids in there.
Babe, I'm fine.
Bring the whole family.
I'm fine. It wasn't you. It's me. It's fine. It's fine. I've just been flexing my calves.
I can't
cancel the appointment. Appointments. We're fine.
Throw the pills in the toilet. Dump them.
Does that mean it is impossible for a man to have sex on his tippy toes?
Oh, interesting, because you are using no.
Okay. Wait, why then? How would you?
That is a good question, because I wonder, because it might have something to do with focus too.
Mm.
Mm, the feature film company.
Let me call my dad in Alaska.
Yeah, hey Dad. I used to also
Dad, how do you get rid of your boners?
I used to also have Well, two things. I used to also have the high school boners, and it's not just a stereotype. They are constant. Like, no, they give you.
I was thinking about the percentage of my high school experience, and it's probably significant. It's got to be maybe 10% was spent with me panicking about boners.
And I'm sure you were taught to. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, well, they still. My daughter has textbooks, and they don't need them, but I think they still give them so the boys have something to cover themselves up with when they go from.
Oh, yeah, that's the only reason why they're still textbooks. 100% boner. Well, I mean, and for me too, you know, I think we all had a similar experience. This is a boy experience for sure. Is the embarrassment of a boner and also the shame of it too, especially if you were in a. Private school or anything like that, because they really made you feel like, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's a bad thing to do, to have a boner.
Well, you went to a school where they would hit it with a ruler.
They would hit it with a ruler. And that's why I love it right now, to be hit with a ruler. That's why I'm a big fan of being hit with rulers.
See, the other problem is, and especially in a society that where, you know, taboo sexuality and yada, 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 especially at that age, you do know that you're supposed to get a boner because of like sexy things. Like you learn that pretty early on. You're like, okay, yeah. Kids get, and you're like, because sometimes it would. But then those times that it wouldn't, you'd be sitting there confused to be like, what did I do? Like, yeah. Who did I look at? Yeah. What turns me on?
Am I a pervert? What am I, a serial killer? Because I had a boner because the new substitute teacher is a year younger than the 70-year-old teacher I usually have.
Was it because I read that Reading is Cool poster in the library that had Macaulay Culkin from My Girl on it? Do I like Macaulay Culkin? Do I like My Girl? Do I like...
Every boner was tied to like, oh gosh, am I gay? Homophobic.
Why am I getting a boner in the funeral scene of My Girl in the open casket when she goes to tell him he needs his glasses?
Is it Dan Aykroyd? Dan Aykroyd?
Am I evil?
Can I only get a boner if I see dead people? And then you'd ask your kid, or not your kid, your friend. You'd ask your kid when you come home, hey son.
Did you get any boners today?
You'd be like, you get a boner when you watch Ghostbusters? No? Why do you, what? What the fuck?
I've told you guys about how I, you know that classic rumor of Marilyn Manson with the ribs?
Oh, yeah.
I've told you how when I heard that, I hadn't had sex ed yet, so I thought that he took the ribs. I thought he took three ribs out and then connected them end to end like a straw and put one end inside of his penis and like sucked it like a straw. I thought that was why.
That just proves how sex ed failed you.
Because I made it up and I was like, that's the most painful sounding thing in the world, because I didn't know that having anything done down there would be.
Yeah,
and then also thinking bones are hollow, which I don't think ribs are hollow. But
only bird
dumb.
Bones are hollow unless you suck out the marrow, which I've done.
That's fun.
Yeah, but do you think that those are made up by like? Because it always surprises me. There's so many regional ones too, though. But it always surprises me how, you know, we all went to different schools. You know, and different parts of the world, but we still have that like Marilyn Manson rib cage rumor. And then the, like, do you remember there was one about Lil Kim? I can't remember if it was Lil Kim or one of those R&B rapper ladies, but they were like, oh, she sucked so much dick that they had to pump her stomach, bro. Did you ever have they pumped their stomach because you guys didn't have that one?
That's really great though.
And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. She sucked so much dick, they had a bumper stomach. That's crazy. And I remember being a kid and being like, whoa, that's fucking scary, actually. Now that I think about it.
Marilyn Manson was already the scariest person in the world. And that like instilled in me a fear of him that I think is still rattling around to this day. I don't remember. I didn't catch wind of the Lil' Kim thing.
Well, everyone had their own like little things. Like even there was another one with Marilyn Manson in my school that was like, remember the Wonder Years? I think we've talked about
this. Yes, yes.
Yeah. They said he was Paul from the Wonder Years all grown up. And I believe that for a while. Because, you know, it's like, who is Marilyn Manson? He's not even using his real name.
pretty uncanny, quite honestly.
I mean, kind of, yeah. But did you guys? So you guys had that one, and you guys had the rib one,
and we also all had the Richard Gere hamster one.
So is there a thing? Do you think? Now I'm just spitballing here, because I guess the simplest answer is always is usually the what's that thing that they say? The simplest solution is usually the
correct answer. Razor.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like maybe some kids spread this and then it's just word of mouth, because this is pre-internet for Joe and I, at least.
Well, isn't the simplest answer in all of these cases that it's just true?
I love Steve that you, Steve subtly always suggests that I'm like 15 years younger than I am. I really appreciate it.
Elliot wasn't around before the internet, or Elliot was around after the internet. AI. Wait, that's what AI is, after internet.
Yeah.
BI and AI. Anyway. So I'm thinking, like, if we all know this, because I've talked to other people in my life who also went to different schools, different parts of the world, and they also have that, like, Marilyn Manson rib story or whatever. And so I'm thinking, is this a kid coming up with it? Is this kids coming up with this? And then it's just word of mouth pre-internet? Or may I present to you guys a potential a hypothesis?
Please.
Did adults come up with these and decide that the way that we're going to scare our children into not trying to put hamsters up their ass, into not trying to fellate themselves, into not getting into sexual escapades, is by creating these scary scenarios,
Steve,
and
we
spreading
agreed,
them.
We agreed we weren't going to talk about politics on today's podcast, so let's just leave it out.
The psyche has a reservoir of images that crop up all across the world that have similarities. They take roughly the same shape. So I think what actually, and this is another hypothesis, is that we all unconsciously share a understanding of Marilyn Manson that is so mythically inclined that we are beholden to these particular motifs that are inevitable throughout time to rise up. And so basically Manson is a carrier or a conduit or a what would be the thing, he's the form, the structure of this sort of satanic archetypal. It was satanic panic.
It's satanic fear. And perversion. Ooh. All these perversions are all involved in this satanic kind of thing. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Richard Gere and the hamster that Joe mentioned earlier, which I forget the, what was it? So Richard Gere
he would put a tube up his booty.
He put a tube up his butt and then let a hamster crawl in and then hang out in there.
Yeah. For pleasure.
For pleasure.
Or
for company.
This is a real thing?
Or to check. Oh, well, yeah.
It was a thing that was said.
It was a thing that was said, and I'm pretty sure it's happened, but it's not clear if Richard Gere is.
It's not Gere clear, but Manson, he did admit that he and his friends used to take meat. Tape meat to a girl who didn't have sight, and then they would all this is graphic.
Wow, where did you learn? Where?
And they'd pee on her. They'd pee on the taped meat to her.
And what
raw
would this
meat
do? Oh, this was another one of those, like, this happened. But
yeah, he owned it. He Whoa. Writes about having done it in his autobiography.
Wow.
So if that's what he was doing, what was his reaction when he heard the rumor that was going around everywhere? What was his manager saying when he was like, was he relieved that it was something like that and not the actual?
They got me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, according to Snopes,
I was going to pull up that one.
Richard Gere was the claim is Richard Gere was taken to a hospital emergency room to have a gerbil removed from his rectum. The following is a true account. A 26-year-old male arrives at the ER complaining of rectal bleeding. He is too embarrassed to provide an accurate history, but provides the examining doctor a clue. Quote, there might be something stuck in my rear end. End quote. Examination reveals a non-tender abdomen, but a rectal exam shows blood coming from the anus. A speculum exam reveals bloody stool and a dead gerbil. Apparently, though, the cardboard tubing from a paper paper towel roll, apparently through the cardboard tubing of a paper towel roll, the rodent had been forced into his rectum, and once the animal was in, the tube was pulled out. The idea is that the gerbil suffocates. It stretches and claws. It scratches and claws at the lining of the rectum, providing an intense sensation to the patient. The rodent should then have been defecated, but the swelling and bleeding had caused the retention of the animal. The patient required pain medication and antibiotics after the animal.
Wait, so this isn't Richard Gere, or they're saying this happened to a patient, and
they're saying that was a true story, but it is incredibly false when it, in being connected to Richard Gere.
Well, dude, the story ruined my day. So
guess
thanks,
what? I haven't even, dude. This is crazy because I have a continuation to this story that I found from UpRocks, and it says, did Sylvester Stallone start the Richard Gere gerbil rumor and investigation? Buckle up, everybody. By now, just about everyone has heard the rumor concerning Richard Gere's rectum and a gerbil somehow getting trapped inside of it. But did Sylvester Stallone have anything to do with it?
Everyone wants to know the million-dollar question on everyone's mind.
Coincidentally, this was the million-dollar question on an episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Regis, did Stallone, but did he start the rumor? We'll be right back. With Stallone's new Rambo and Rocky picks coming soon, the question has been brought to my attention, so we'll be attempting to answer it here. But first, a primer on gerbiling.
Oh, God.
It has a whole, it has a name?
I already primed us on gerbiling.
Yep. Okay, now that we got gerbiling out of the way, let's move on. The story of Gere having to rush to Cedars-Sinai Hospital to have a gerbil removed gained popularity in the early 90s, but scientific research suggests the tale originated sometime in the 80s. Thank you, science. Whether it was true or not didn't matter. It was hilarious, and pop culture latched onto it as evidenced by this live in living color skit that aired in 1992 opposite the Super Bowl halftime show. We don't have to watch that. Let me see how long it is. It's 5 minutes long. No, we're not watching that. In case you thought this urban legend was forgotten, then you haven't done a Twitter search recently. Okay, well, this was 2014, but someone tweeted, Richard Gere still poops out a gerbil bone occasionally. Kind of funny. Here's the gist of the tale, the way it was passed through Hollywood, and you've already read this, Joe. Oh, although it does say, some say Gere was alone when he arrived at the hospital. Others say he was accompanied by a friend. Former love interest Cindy Crawford tops the list, because that's
damn, this is getting scandalous.
In any case, an x-ray was taken and determined that there was a gerbil, blah 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 blah. Mr. Gere was rushed to surgery, where it literally took a team of doctors to extract the unfortunate animal. Several stories date the impetus of the rumor back to the 80s, when supposedly some nefarious character, Sylvester Stallone, faxed a faux hospital report claiming that Gere was admitted to Cedars-Sinai to have a creature extracted. There were people who claimed to know people who claim, there are people who know people who know people, claim they saw Gere at the hospital either before or after said creature was removed. And then here we go. A commenter on a Dan Savage article from 2013 said the following. In 1987, a friend of mine I was sharing a place with was an ER nurse in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Convenient.
Came back from work once, breathlessly excited because on the ER shift.
I gotta
tell somebody.
Wait, give me a second. Oh,
gerbil, Richard Gere.
I'm excited. Can't get my breath.
Because of the ER shift before hers, they had pulled a gerbil out of Richard Gere's ass. Top secret, she'd be fired if anyone knew she told.
Because she's breaking some HIPAA bullshit right here, huh?
And listen, since it's on the internet, it must be true, right? But back to Stallone. What is his role in this fiasco? Wow, they're really chewing. They're trying to get their word limit here. Oh, here we go. And I just got a support-free continue without supporting. Here we go. Gear and Sly, Gear and the Sly One were set. Oh, the Sly One were set to star in The Lords of Flatbush together, but the pair couldn't make nice. Stallone addresses the issue with Ain't It Cool News a few years back and how it led to Gear believing he started the awful rumor. Okay, so this is Gear.
There's a man outside my office.
What's going on?
What's going on? You got a friend?
Can you hear that?
Here's something. It sounds like an ice cream truck.
Weed eater.
Same thing.
Oh, is someone doing yard work?
The possum is.
He's right there.
The possum's doing yard work and he's looking at you. The possum's staring at you while he's mowing the lawn.
Do the lawn, possum.
Okay, so here's what Stallone says.
Here's what happened. 10 minutes ago, Elliot saw a possum in its like adolescent years, and now this is the possum in his teenage years, doing his first job. It's like he just does some yard work for some neighbors. Yep. In another 10-20 minutes, he's gonna meet his college girlfriend. So yep. This is
really incredible. It's beautiful. My zoology degree is really coming to fruition. Yep. All right.
Okay, so the original part. So here's Stallone. Stallone's saying the original part was gonna be played by Perry King.
I don't know how it opened that.
Oh, so it ended up being it ended up being Perry King, but the original role was to Richard Gere. He said we never hit it off. He would strut around in his oversized motorcycle jacket like he was the baddest knight at the round table.
They didn't wear those at the round table.
One day, that's a
bad metaphor.
Improv,
bad metaphor.
He grabbed me. We were simulating a fight scene.
I got
a little carried away, and I told him in a gentle fashion to lighten up. But he was completely in character and impossible to deal with. Then we were rehearsing in Coney Island. It was lunchtime. We decided to take a break. The only place that was warm was in the back seat of a Toyota. Wait, hang on. He said he was eating a hot dog. What's that like, Joe? What's Sylvester Stallone eating a hot dog?
He's a hot dog.
Hold on. There's no relish on this. Hey!
You just went super Jewish. That was crazy.
No way. It's like New York.
Went Zoidberg.
There's no mustard in here. No, he can do that. He does that. He's from the East Coast.
I don't know.
Richard Gere climbs in with half a chicken covered in mustard. What the fuck? With grease nearly dripping out of the aluminum wrapper. I said, hey, that thing is going to drip all over the place. He said, don't worry about it. I said, if it gets on my pants, you're going to know about it. This is a great story. He proceeds to bite into the chicken and a small greasy river of mustard lands on my thigh. This is real.
You can tell he's a writer.
Right. I elbowed him in the side of the head and he basically pushed him out of the car. The director had to make a choice. One of us had to go. One of us had to stay. Richard was given his walking papers and to this day seriously dislikes me. He even thinks I'm the individual responsible for the gerbil rumor. Not true, but that's the rumor. So someone took a quote from Sylvester Stallone about how it was hard to work with Richard Gere and then just made up that maybe Sylvester Stallone started the rumor because of that.
Man, that's perfect. Mm-hmm.
I want to crawl up my own ass after reading that shit.
That's another take.
You guys are really good at that.
Why don't you let the hamster do a take? Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if this is of interest to you guys. It's non-sequitur, but I was thinking about movies, and I saw the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh, I'm interested.
So did I. I saw it too.
Okay, I'm going to see it, and I don't care if you guys talk about it. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Elliot.
You shouldn't care, Joe, because whatever you're expecting the movie to be is exactly what the movie is. But, Steve, my question to you is, did you see it in what I've discovered based on your social media You 10DX. Are a massive 40X fan.
That's
this
right.
Because we've spoken about 40X before, and yes, you've been not quite as excited as you seemed on that native post to your Instagram feed.
No, but you know, Elliot, I love Ghostbusters. And if you notice, you can look back through my my posts there, and you'll see that whenever I do give a shout out to 40X, it is with a movie that I highly enjoy, like, for instance, and one that I've seen a lot, like I went to A Nightmare Before Christmas 4DX screening, and that was really cool. I've seen that movie 100 times. Bring it on. Let's do a 4DX. My biggest issue with 4DX is I can't watch a brand new movie I've never seen that way. It's too distracting, it's ridiculous, and I can't do it. But if it's a movie I've seen before, bring it on, baby. I'm not as distracted. I can enjoy the spectacle. I'm just clearing the air here.
Did you see Frozen Empire in 4DX?
I did not see it in 4DX, but I was given tickets, and I'm going to take my girlfriend to go see it.
Did they make you feel cold at any point? Did they hit you with cold air?
I bet they do.
Did you? You didn't, Elliot? You didn't see it?
Oh, I didn't see it in 4DX. No. Okay.
Did we like the movie?
So I liked it. Yeah,
okay, good. That's all I
liked
it.
I liked Afterlife more.
Me too.
Because I think it's a more of a cohesive
people
story.
Hate Afterlife. I like it too. I think it's fun.
It's fine. Yeah.
Well, I hate it. Yeah. I thought it was, you know, I with the fact that it was Ivan Reitman's son, it was Jason Reitman, I thought that that helped a lot, probably, as far as making it, like, into a movie. And to me, it's like, Ghostbusters, they could make as many Ghostbusters movies as there are Marvel movies if they wanted to, if they really wanted to fucking go
for it. The Ghostbusters universe.
Give it to us. So we're getting a Netflix animated series really soon. Did you know about that? There's a Ghostbusters, a new one, yeah, which is sounds exciting and cool. To me, it's like, I think I've said this here or somewhere. I don't know. It's hard to remember where I've said this. But if we asked for this, you know, I asked for more Ghostbusters when I was a kid. I asked for more Ninja Turtles. I asked for more Star Wars. And now we're getting it. And I'm like, cool, man. And it, you know, Paul Rudd's great. And McKenna Grace is really good. I thought she was great. Like, she's still as good as she was in the first one. But it felt like we were like, it felt like another introduction to these same characters that they spent a whole movie introducing us to, instead of just throwing us into, you know, like these lives that they're kind of living, which it felt like they were doing, but they were struggling with all these different stories. It felt like 7 drafts of the script were all in one script.
Yes, it did. There's about 16 plots that they introduced
very quickly.
Too quickly. And I think in the beginning, it's like, all right, set up, give it to us. We're getting it. We're building. And then it builds this like kind of lackluster finale. I was disappointed by that big time. And it felt like the cameos, the old guys, the old team is just there to be like, hey, we're here. Yeah. We accept this. And less than like, here, we're a part of the story, you know? And that final battle was like, what the fuck happened?
You're just done. The movie. It's like, well, let's end the movie now. But yeah. I thought Kumail Nanjiani did a great job.
Dude, I thought he was great. It was the first time in a really long time Kumail like nailed it, and I felt really good about it.
Do they establish Kumail as a Ghostbuster?
No, thank fuck. I know everyone was like, we're going to see Patton Oswalt in the costume. We're going to see Kumail in the costume. And it's like, thank fuck we didn't. But there is what were you saying?
I think that little girl is really awesome too. The girl that plays the granddaughter, daughter.
McKenna Grace. That's
what you're talking about? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, she was awesome.
She's so good. She's great. She could be like a, I'd rather see her than the one from Stranger Things that we keep seeing.
I agree, because I think Millie Bobby Brown is not as great.
Yeah, she's just kind of like, she does the Sydney Sweeney thing where she's like, I'm here.
Side tangent real quick on Millie Bobby Brown. My wife was watching
Dragon movie.
The Dragon movie. And I watched it for a second and whatever about the movie. But if you look at Millie Bobby Brown now, and look at Keira Knightley, They look the same.
Oh, interesting. She's like a young, really? She's got like a young Keira Knightley. Thing going.
Look at that. Look at that Dragon movie. There's some moments there. I was like, holy crap, young Keira Knightley.
I saw an Indian version of that Dragon movie, not Bollywood. I don't think so. Maybe I could be misregionalizing,
misregionalizing.
Can I say, is that correct?
I like that word. Misregion, is that real?
I just pulled it out of my ass with this hamster here.
I like that.
And all this other stuff I'm gonna pull out of my ass. But that Dragon movie is not bad. It's like a fun, like young adult, girly.
It's dark kinda too.
What's that?
It's dark.
It's dark. Yeah, it's definitely dark. But it's like girl falls in love with this boy who just so happens to be a dragon. And she's got to like, you know, tame the beast. And maybe she's the one to like, you know, tame the beast and fall in love with this guy. It's like a young adult, like a girly novel, like a love story, like a Twilight kind
of. Speaking of misregionalizing, did you guys know that it's not just Bollywood? There are many woods from that region. Us over here call everything Bollywood, but that's extremely wrong. Like that's specific.
Well, I thought just the musical stuff was Bollywood.
There's Bollywood. There's Tollywood. There's so many different woods over there, and I learned that from.
I can't keep these LGBTQs together. I can't tell. I can't. I'm gonna misgender everybody.
Oh, what's the next one gonna be?
Oh my golly!
Oh, I identify as Triwood. What are these? Can you explain
Bollywood,
what they are?
Bollywood, Chollywood.
Can you explain Pollywood or explain one of the other ones?
It's all just regional. Bollywood is part of the larger Indian film industry based in Mumbai and produces the Hindu language based films. Pollywood is Punjabi cinema.
This is really important, Joe. I'm appreciating you doing this.
Lollywood is Pakistan based film industry, which borrowed its name from Hollywood. Chollywood is a film industry in Chhattisgarh, I'm probably even saying that wrong, state in central India. So there's just, it's very regional.
Wow. So RRR might not be Bollywood. Is RRR Bollywood?
Well, let me just.
Let's find out.
I went to see a show that Mike Falzone was doing, a comedy thing, not stand up, and it was at the Alamo Draft House, downtown LA.
Yeah.
And he did this thing where he and other comedians would comment on Bollywood films.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be like a typical show in LA, you know, not totally full, packed. And it was all these folks from India and then me, the whitest person in the world. And I saw all of the more Bollywood in one night than I ever have. And it was the most fascinating thing.
Isn't it great?
These guys watch it and see them watch it and see their reactions and the way they love it, but like are also ironic about it and able to make fun of it. It was so cool.
Yep. I love Bollywood. It's so bonkers. And like, I think they just, it seems more fun than what we do.
They have a very free, it's almost like everything's extravagant from costumes to set pieces. If it's action, if it's dance or whatever, it's just a little bit over the top and they don't take themselves seriously, but they throw millions at it and I love it. But to answer your question, Steve, at the top of my googs here, it says, but later in the monologue, apparently they were on Kimmel. Kimmel mistakenly referred to RRR as a Bollywood film, which is actually a Telugu language movie that was produced in the southern region of India known as Tollywood.
Whoa, so RRR is Tollywood.
Yeah.
This is going to be really fun to correct people with. I'm an ally and I know RRR is Tollywood. All right. So
well, people love when you do that. People love that.
Out of here. Wait, what?
Scientist. Steve just starts referring to people that he's angry at as Zionists.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're Zionist.
Oh, you're Zionist.
You Zionist snowflake. Anyway. I'll say I enjoyed Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Joe, you should see it. Lower your expectations. Keep your expectations low.
High expectations for any type of remake or furtherization of nostalgic fare these days. I go in hoping to have a good time.
Did you guys watch the new teaser trailer for The Penguin on HBO?
No.
It's
how's that look?
Looks really cool, and it just looks like Colin Farrell is going to be awesome. But they don't really give you a lot of info. It looks really great.
I thought you were going to ask about Beetlejuice. Did you see
that's the one
trailer?
That I was going to say.
Same thing. Very excited about that as well.
What do you think?
I loved it.
I'm interested.
I wasn't a big fan of the Banana Boat song.
As a funeral march.
Their slow trailer music. Yeah. Who's dead, by the way? You think it's Jeffrey Jones?
100. You can see it's Jeffrey Jones. Why do you think it's Jeffrey Jones? He seems like a cool guy.
Maybe Joe, will you Google Jeffrey Jones?
You know, he's gotten work since then, so you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Damn, he was in Deadwood and he was pretty good in that, remember?
And that was post that.
That was post that. Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, at least Tim Burton's being responsible and not giving that guy a platform.
It has been confirmed 100% that he's not in the movie it's not just because you see him on a tombstone, because they're living in a world where we're playing with dead people. It's been confirmed he's also not a ghost.
Oh, man, because I was going to say, would he be a ghost? See, I can't rip my nostalgia love for Beetlejuice out of my brain. I can't help but be
you're worried
critical of what I've seen, because I have such a connection to Beetlejuice, an emotional one, and so it's hard for me to be like, I just want it to be perfect, and there's no way for it to be. And I have to do the same thing, Joe, that you're doing, like you said when you said that you curb your expectations, you curb your enthusiasm for nostalgic redos.
Reimaginations.
And it's like, this movie probably won't be great. We might feel the same way we do about Frozen Empire with this new Beetlejuice. But I'm just like, for some reason, I'm so precious about the Beetlejuice, like, story and lore. It's like,
fuck over it.
I can't. Help me.
Just
help me.
Who cares?
Let's play
focus on what looked good. I'm going to play that so far. Michael Keaton, I love
the What
if you did what?
Giant boner.
You get up. You well, they did do something.
Shut up.
Then wait, what's the matter with you? You start yelling at me with a boner.
Michael Keaton, I love that they're leaning into he's old as fuck and making him look even worse,
like gross.
As Beetlejuice.
Well, because
like,
what else can you do?
That's great. He looks haggard. Like, maybe there's a world where ghosts get older, or like, you know, I love that.
Sure,
like,
why not?
He looks like total shit. I think, what is her name? Jenna Ortega? Is that
her
name?
Yeah.
I think she fits. She fits the look. She fits the world. So a perfect casting there. She's a great actress. I'm excited about that.
Also, what's his name?
Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux. Yeah, Justin Theroux. I love him so much. I can't wait.
So I have
Is he the new Otho, you think?
Probably. I have nothing to hate. At this point, I have only got things. I'm peaked. My interest is peaked. Yeah. And it's Michael Keaton.
Doing legit stop motion. They're not doing
they said
practical effects.
Yeah, because Michael Keaton said he would only do it if they didn't overload it with computer stuff. Yeah.
My friend
worked on it and said he did all the exterior stuff in Massachusetts or wherever the all the exterior stuff was, and I was like, how's it look? And like, can you tell me anything? Like, how's it? And he was like, Jenna Ortega rides around on a bike a lot. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. I was like, did you ever see Michael Keaton? Did you ever see Beetlejuice or anything? And he's like, no, they don't. I mean, he probably wouldn't be in the exterior stuff in Massachusetts or whatever. But he's like, they had the big bridge with the like thing that the Maitlands died in. And what are they going to do about the Maitlands?
That's what I was going to ask. Are they coming
Well, they
back?
Can't age because what I read was that it doesn't make sense for them. They've aged too much, and if they're ghosts, they can't age. Whereas Keaton, he can age a little bit because he says he's like 600 years old in it. So he also shouldn't be aged too much more. But I bet they'll explain it in some pithy
way. I'm wondering, because I remember I was rewatching Beetlejuice this week, actually, because I was so inspired by all the new Beetlejuice talk and stuff. But in the movie, they say when the Maitlands go to the other side, the other world or overworld or whatever the fuck's called, they mention that they have to spend 125 years in that house before they can pass on. So at the end of the movie, it shows that they're all living very well together in the house, but there's no way 125 years has passed. So if they're like, oh, they moved on, I'm not going to buy that shit.
Hmm.
I want a good reason why they're not there.
Do you think the movie opens up with like you're in the underworld, you're in some like seedy like back alley of the ghost world, and it's a very tiny headed Beetlejuice finding some like back alley voodoo artist to make his head big again?
Head bigger. That's fun. I have heard of very loose plot details, and from what I have gathered,
I don't want
to know anything.
I don't like too much plot. Okay. I'd like to go in totally, because I went into the original in October having
no idea. That's fun.
So I like having it.
You just watched
it. And as I'm a new fan, and a big fan, but a new fan.
Dude, so. I've always wanted to deep dive into Beetlejuice and just do like a fucking 3-hour video that just like goes into all of the details, because there's so much weird shit that is obviously a remnant from an older draft of the script that they just left in. Like the fact that they go to Saturn every time the sandworms are on Saturn, and they go to Saturn whenever they leave the house. It's and really then weird. Beetlejuice is Beetlegeist. Like his actual name is Beetlegeist or something. And Beetlegeist isn't it a planet or a constellation or something? Or,
it's a star.
There's all this weird planet shit all over the place.
It's a red star in the sky when you look at it. Yeah,
like what's the deal? And Juno, the caseworker, Juno is another space thing, which is like apparently a thing. I don't know. I don't get it. I want to dig into like, why is there all this space shit around the Beetlejuice story? And is it like just an abandoned concept that just stayed in for some reason? Or is there some deeper lore that we're going to learn in the next one?
Well, I think Sylvester Stallone is who started all the space stuff.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show today. Anybody want to say anything else before we say goodbye?
Beetlejuice only had Michael Keaton only had 17.5 minutes of screen time in the original Beetlejuice. I wonder if they will beat that or triple it or quadruple it. Will they lean into him heavier? I don't know.
I think they should give people what they want. And
I would say just cherish opossums when you see them. Don't be freaked out by them. They can't get rabies. They're good animals. They're very sweet. They're generally harmless. Cleaner than most.
They will hiss at you if you come upon them too fast.
Yep. He was taking the ribs out so he could reach his penis with his mouth. Mm-hmm. He was connecting them end to end with a bone straw. Yeah.
With a straw. Yeah.
Just something to reflect on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.